Katie and Kay Carbondale. Good morning. It is a snowy Tuesday, February 28th, 2017, last day of February. I'm Steve Cole. Thanks for listening. Colorado lawmakers may ban a practice widely considered harmful to minors that seeks to change a person's sexual orientation or suppress gender identity. Eric Gladys has this report.
Colorado lawmakers will consider a bill this week that would prohibit mental health professionals licensed in Colorado from conducting so-called conversion or reparative therapy, a practice aimed at changing a person's sexual orientation or suppressing gender identity with minors. Brad Allen with the group Urban Peak, which serves a large population of homeless LGBT youth, says the new law would help young people receive mental health care that is ethical and affirming.
Reparative therapy has been discredited repeatedly by every major psychological organization in the country. What this does is it allows us to have on the books in Colorado that there will be no reparative therapy by any licensed therapist in the state for minors.
Some of the bill's opponents claim the law would impact a family's ability to choose treatment. Allen says clergy still could offer counseling even if they're licensed by the state and are exempt under Colorado law, as long as they're not presenting themselves as a state licensee during sessions. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Association dropped homosexuality from its classification as a mental disorder. Allen notes that many young Coloradans continue to be subjected to efforts to change their sexual orientation, and that when therapists project a belief that being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender is a condition that should be fixed, it can lead to internalized shame and self-loathing.
There's plenty of studies that correlate that belief with increased depression, substance abuse, anxiety disorders, even PTSD, and some of those things that are associated with that belief when put into a counseling office.
According to the Colorado Health Institute, nearly half of young LGBT Coloradans have considered suicide, compared with slightly more than 10% of their straight peers. The measure, introduced by Representative Paul Rosenthal, is scheduled to be heard on Tuesday in the House Public Health Care and Human Services Committee.
This is Eric Gladys reporting for KDNK.
A state oil and gas regulator recently found that Summit Midstream's work on a pipeline in Battlement Mesa violated state rules for inadequate topsoil protection and poor stormwater control. This Thursday, the Garfield County Energy Advisory Board will hear from the company's operations manager, Brian Gardner, about safety considerations for natural gas pipeline construction, operation, and maintenance. The meeting begins at 6 at the Garfield County Administration Building in Rifle. A measure that would increase the penalty for tampering with oil and equipment is making its way through the Republican-controlled state Senate. As Benta Berkland reports, the bill has generated passionate debate.
Since it was first introduced, Senate Bill 35 has generated a lot of public interest. It has consistently been one of the top bills viewed on the state's legislative website.
If you put an entire community in danger, that shouldn't be a felony?
Republican Senator Jerry Sonnenberg of Sterling says it makes sense to increase the deterrent for messing with valves and oil and gas equipment, in this case up to 18 months in jail and a fine of up to $100,000.
This is nothing about peaceful protests. Chain yourself to the fence. I don't care. Stand there with the signs. I don't care.
These are people who are just looking to make sure that their property stays safe, that their bodies are safe. Where's the concern for them?
That's Denver resident Sabrina Seaver. She was one of the many members of the public to testify against the bill earlier this month. Seaver says she doesn't condone tampering with equipment or putting people in danger. Her concern is language in the bill that says a person could not attempt to alter, obstruct, interrupt, or interfere with any equipment associated with oil and gas drilling.
The bill is really on really vague wording where it would be possible for somebody to exercise their free right to assemble and their right to free speech and still be arrested and charged.
For instance, could someone stand on a public road and block it temporarily? Democratic Senator Daniel Kagan of Denver says if passed, people would be too afraid to do any type of protest.
By golly, you don't risk a felony conviction, being deprived of your gun rights, being deprived of your ability to rent an apartment, being deprived of your right to vote. For the rest of your life, you'll be a felon.
According to state figures, in the last 3 years, there was one recorded case of a person being convicted of tampering with oil and gas equipment. That's why Democratic Senator Rhonda Fields of Aurora says the bill is not necessary.
No one is tampering. with these oil rigs. This is just not taking place in the state of Colorado.
But supporters say it's a national problem, citing the protests over the Dakota Access Pipeline, among other places. They argue it's important to be proactive. Tracy Bentley is with the Colorado Petroleum Council and supports the measure.
We've seen a significant increase in trespassers coming and taking the copper wiring found at many of our facilities, whether they sell the copper or whatnot. But any time you remove a piece of wiring, I think regardless of what it's made of, you're compromising the system.
And as oil and gas drilling continues to move closer to populated areas in Colorado, some lawmakers worry it could set the stage for more confrontations. The debate over fracking is already at a fever pitch, and Republican Senator Vicky Marble from Fort Collins says the increased penalty is overdue.
I mean, this is terrorist act, basically, to me.
Republicans delayed the measure mid-debate to wait for updated information on the financial impacts to the state. The proposal is expected to pass in the Senate, but ultimately fail in the Democratic-controlled House. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The bill initially passed the state Senate on second reading Monday and needs a final vote in the Senate before it heads to the House. In late March, the Roaring Fork High School Model UN Club goes to New York City for the National Model UN Conference and joins students from around the world to learn about and debate global issues. Last week, Tavia Teitler, Rex Hamilton, Jen Platero, and social studies teacher Matt Wells joined KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh on Valley Voices to talk about the club and the trip. Here, Tavia Teitler, now in her third year of Model UN, starts off by describing what the club needs to do for the conference.
For this conference, our club is assigned a country. This year, we are Botswana. So as members of the club, we research about this country, and then we are each assigned to different committees that kind of emulate real committees that are on the UN. And so we do research and preparation to learn about these topics that we discuss in the committees and learn about the country. And then we get to travel to New York City and participate in this conference for 4 days where we sit on these committees with other students and debate our topics and try to come to resolutions that are beneficial for our countries. The committee I am on this year is the International Court of Justice, so I am not actually representing Botswana. On this committee, I get to represent my own ideas and beliefs and views, so I have not been as much involved in the research of Botswana, but typically the kind of research that we do about these countries in preparation for the conference involves kind of understanding the political climate and views of the country and also the country's more specific stances on the issues that are going to be debated in our committees.
Jensine, do you want to add something?
Yeah, and so for me, I'm going to be dealing with the crime issues in Botswana. And so when I say crime, we're dealing with terrorism and the use of internet. And so I'm going to be trying to find the resolution of how we can figure out whether we are going to be violating people's freedoms by being able to check into their social media accounts. And with that being said, we also have to regulate who is using the media and whether we are able to access terrorists or not.
What kind of terrorism is happening in Botswana?
Well, primarily the issues that we're covering is just we're trying to figure out if people from Saudi Arabia are communicating with people from Botswana, and we're trying to figure out how we can stop terrorism from spreading. And we have figured out that the main source is through the use of social media. And so we're trying to figure out how we can track these people and what kind of apps they use and whether we can actually have access to them or not.
That sounds really
exciting. One of the things that makes this both really cool but also challenging for these guys is that they, so this topic of terrorism and the ones that Tavia and Rex are on as well are looking at them in a global way, but they have to go at it, in the case of Jensine, from Botswana's perspective, and they have to represent as best they can the government of Botswana's positions on those issues. So she's got to, as she said, look at it from Botswana's perspective, but then also be able to look at it globally, because obviously there are, the committee you're on involves practically every nation in the world, so you've got all of those different perspectives. And so this is the kind of preparation that they're doing for this conference.
Well, Rex Hamilton, this is your first year in Model UN.
Yeah.
What made you decide to join this club?
Well, my mom is a teacher at the elementary school, and she's known Mr. Wells for a long time, and, you know, she knows him as a great teacher. And I'd heard about Model UN before, you know, both from people, and I've seen it on, you know, TV before. And it's really interesting, and knowing that, you know, the real UN solves really a lot of the world's issues, I think that having a chance to replicate that with, you know, other great minds from the high school and then eventually New York all over the country is a really great opportunity.
Are you able to use these skills outside of the Model UN program?
Absolutely. One of the things that I think this conference teaches that is really important is being able to think globally and also put yourself in the perspective of someone else and think from someone else's viewpoint. Last year, I was on the legal committee, and the topic that we discussed was censorship of mass media. And as a journalist myself, and from my own beliefs, I am very against censorship in the media in general, but we were representing Bulgaria last year, which very heavily censors their media. And so it was a really good experience to have to debate something and try to come to solutions about something from a perspective that I didn't necessarily agree with. And I think that the ability to do that and to have that skill is something that translates into lots of other aspects of life as well.
What do you mean by think globally?
I think a lot of times as high schoolers, it is our tendency to be very self-focused, and sometimes that is very important for success, maintaining grades and participating in the social aspect of high school and figuring out plans for our own futures takes a lot of time and energy and thought. But I think it's also very important to take time to kind of contemplate and research and understand bigger concepts and bigger problems that are taking place all around the world and involve lots of people besides ourselves and the people in our high school. And I think Model UN is a really great way to encourage high schoolers to take time to understand and think deeply about and care about these other really big worldwide issues.
The Roaring Fork High School Model UN Club goes to New York City at the end of March. For more information and to help the club raise money for the trip, you can go to the GoFundMe.com/RFHS-UN. You can hear the entire Valley Voices show at KDNK.org.